I'm Nate Langson.
And I'm Andrew Hoyle.
And I'm drinking tea. We're back. A little interjection there. We're back. Episode 4 of Do We Need This? Someone said, do we need another episode of the podcast? The answer is a firm yes. That's why we're here.
That is why we're here.
Yeah. I've had an interesting week. Have you?
I've had a fine week.
I missed a flight.
Yeah, that wasn't good for you.
No, we're going to come back to that in a later part of the show, in roughly 5 minutes, in fact. Andy, you know when I just made you a cup of tea?
Yeah.
About 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I said, and you said, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, it's the least I can do.
Yeah.
Why did you not say to me, what's a little bit better than the least?
Well, if you remember, I did. I said, well, that's the least, and I'd like a biscuit too.
Yeah, I didn't actually bring the biscuit.
No.
But I take issue with this. I hear this expression quite a lot of the time. It's a really common expression. It's the least I can do. And I know the sentiment behind it is someone saying, oh, it's no effort, it's no bother. Okay, but I do feel that there is something fundamentally wrong with this as an expression.
I completely agree.
Now, I know it's it wouldn't be the same to say, this is not the least nor the most I can do. It's somewhere in the middle relative to my feelings towards you and the amount of time I have to do something that benefits you that I'm prepared to give.
It's fundamentally a lie, for one thing. At least, at the very least, it's a lie. The least you could do in any situation is nothing.
Yeah.
And if it's not a lie, then it's at least almost insulting because it's pointing out that whatever you're doing, oh, this is what I believe to be the least, and I've done that. I have identified what would be the least caring thing I can do and then done it.
And then, not only that, but pointed out that what I've done is, by the way, this isn't very much. I'm painfully aware that what I've done is the least I could possibly do.
Yeah.
I've done it, and pointing it out like I should get a high five. So this got me thinking about whether we need other expressions. I was trying to think, what are the expressions I hear the most that annoy me or that I think are pointless?
Yeah.
And I came up with a few. And my favorite one is, do we need unnecessary prefixes? And I know that's a slightly loaded suggestion. The fact is we don't. But I like them. It's when someone says something like, I don't mean to be rude, but you know that when they say that, what is about to follow is something that is incredibly rude.
Incredibly rude, yeah. Oh, don't take this the wrong way.
But you're a twat.
Yeah, there's only one way you're going to take this.
Yeah, you are basically being rude. Or things like, you know, a good one is a guy sat in the car scratching his beard, sort of looking out the window going, now, I'm not being racist, but you basically know that any words that are about to follow that are basically racist in origin.
Oh, completely.
I don't mean to complain, but great prefix to a complaint.
Yeah. And you've written down one more here, which, again, I completely believe with. This is a bit of an Americanism. Saying, oh, I could care less.
Yeah.
To suggest that you don't care because it's fundamentally wrong.
It means I could care less because I care at least to some amount.
Yeah.
Another one. I wanted to pick one more out here. There's more than one way to skin a cat. Now, who is skinning cats to prove a point? B, who has logged down the numbers of ways to skin a cat, document it, and then at some point use that as sort of like, well, you could do it that way, you could do it this way, and trust me, I've skinned several cats and know that this is in fact true.
Presumably you'd go head to tail, right? That's how you skin any animal, I think.
I tend to go from the middle outwards, like opening a grab bag of quavers.
Yeah, I think in our society, we need more to the point things. So I think a better one would be, I'm a racist and would be better. Or, I think you're a twat and here's a reason why. We're going to move on now to passports, something that has been a bit of an issue for you this week. Nate, and that's why I made sure that we put this into our running order.
Yeah, earlier on, I can answer this question quite easily. The answer is, do we need passports? Yes. Did I have mine at the check-in desk going to IFA? No.
Yeah, so you managed to get to the airport about 6 in the morning for your flight, and then
don't be an ass. It's about 10.
Okay, well, 10, even so. And then found out you didn't have it, had to come home and get another flight.
That was the precise happening.
And it was when you were moaning to me about this, quite a few times, I may point out, that I thought, well, actually, do we need passports? It seemed like such an archaic thing. Like, you've got to carry around this fragile paper document that you have to have, and there's no backup for it. There's no, like, oh, well, you know, your boarding pass and things. You can check it online, you can email it to you, you can get it on an app, you can do all these different ways of getting around it. But your passport is just the one.
Yeah.
And it's paper, and it's easy to lose, it's easy to leave behind, especially when you're at the airport even, and you're having to go through security, you go through everything else, you're getting your passport in and out, different documents, very easy to lose. Why do we still have this?
Well, there are several reasons why.
Go on.
And we do need them. In the same way, I think, really, that we still apparently need faxes. Now, a fax still exists because a faxed legal document still counts as a legal document. The fact is, passports, we do need them. But you're right, that it is kind of archaic, and passports in some form have actually existed for like 2,000 years. Like, there was a king in like 500 BC, I think, who gave a piece of paper to a man so he could safely cross a river. Technically a passport, wow. Although not a passport because he wasn't passing a port. There were passports in medieval times. King Henry V, I think in the 13th or 14th century, instigated what was effectively a passport. So like his ruling or his citizens, if you like, could move from place to place safely. Modern passports, though, started in the beginning of the 20th century.
Yeah.
At least as far as I could discern, and actually had a written description of the passport holder. But we do need them still because they kind of bridge a gap between the old and the new. So passports are essential. Everyone has one. You can get family passports and what have you, but basically everybody has a passport or is entitled to a passport. Modern passports have biometrics in them. And obviously we have iris scanners now, and you have these e-gates where you can go up and have your iris scanned.
Yeah. Now this is one of my points. Like the technology is starting to slowly be brought in, but it's still tied to this one document. Now, if we've got iris scanning, we've got the biometric stuff, why do we still need this little paper booklet that's fragile and you know, you can get destroyed easily and lost?
Like, what you're saying is, why can't I just stand in front of a camera and put my finger on a sensor and have it detect my eye and my fingerprint?
That'd be fine.
And let me through. That is the way it's going. Definitely, biometrics are the future passports, and I imagine in 30 years' time, we won't have them. But at the moment, there are so many people alive who have old passports that the old and the new tech have to kind of coexist side by side. It's sort of like when the euro was brought in. Like, for a while, prices would be listed with old currency and the new currency so people could get used to the value. It's basically just waiting for all the old people to die, take their passports to the grave, and then all us younger people can just use biometrics.
So you don't think we need to do a big overhaul and just give everyone a new thing?
No, because you're talking about a global standard. So we do still need them, sadly, but in 30 years' time, when old people have passed on, we can say goodbye to our loved ones and goodbye to their passports. It's time to hear from you, the listener, or in cases of you writing in, the writer. We've had a number of feedback, and we do encourage it every week. doweneedquestions@gmail.com or @doweneed on Twitter. Rupert suggests, do we need management jargon? He suggests going forward, and he kindly points out what should be done to people who use these sorts of expressions. He says, put out their eyes, cut off their tongues with pinking shears, stop up their ears with hornets soaked in hydrofluoric acid.
Ooh.
Scathing words there.
That's going to hurt.
Yeah. Now, he's talking about stuff going forward, thinking outside the box, blue sky thinking.
Touch base.
Yeah.
My God. The amount of times I get that and, I never want anyone to touch my base.
You'll know when I want my base touched because my trousers will be around my ankles and I'll be asking you to touch my base. Ian writes in, do we need massive spiders? Again, he comes up with his own answer. The answer, by the way, is that we most certainly do fucking not need them, the little bastards. I do kind of like how he's sort of said, do we need massive spiders, and then called them little bastards. Slight inconsistency there. Ian, no worries.
Ashley says, do we need beer tokens at festivals?
No. This is a hangover, technically, a philosophical hangover from when Ashley and I went to Hellfest a few months ago.
Yeah.
And we had to buy tokens with money and then use the tokens to buy the beer. The one token equaled €1. Why the hell not just use the euro?
That does seem pretty daft.
Yeah, no, we do not need those, Ashley.
Rich writes in with, do we need fake boobs?
Again, this is kind of like the other week when Matt wrote in and said, do we need colonic irrigation? And I couldn't really tell if he was saying, do we personally feel like we need it to happen to us? Would we like it? Do we need fake boobs? Personally, in this room right now, I don't. No.
I don't personally want fake boobs inserted in me. They do look kind of comfortable. So as a little travel pillow, then I'd probably like to take one of the little silicone pouches and use it on a plane.
Funnily enough, though, fake boobs was something I had in an email. Heather, excellent Heather, wrote in with nothing to do with the podcast, but emailed me a photograph of some food that was in the packaging that had a woman on the front and she was pretending to be holding two cupcakes that were clearly intended to look like breasts. They're fake boobs. Do we need those? Absolutely. They look delicious.
And Bab says, do we need hiking boots with heels? I've never even seen hiking boots with heels, and I worked in an outdoor climbing and walking shop for 6 years.
Yeah, but you were selling products aimed at people who like hiking. I think this is kind of like people who go glamping. That word, which frankly should be illegal to say out loud. It's basically people who have to camp who don't really want to camp. I think hiking boots with heels are for people who have been told, you're going hiking, and they're like, fine, but I'm going to look my best, girlfriend. Kind of like something out of Clueless, only on a hill with more dirt and eruptions. Yeah, actually, funny story. I flew past Mount Fuji the other day, and apparently it's going to blow up soon.
That's not funny at all.
No. Nick writes in, do we need window fans? Those rubbish circular clear plastic fans you see in every UK kitchen. They exist nowhere else in the world. They do exist for a reason. It is to kind of get fresh air circulating in small kitchens, in the same reason that you have extractor fans to sort of get stuff out. However, I did like the fact that when I first read this, I thought he actually wrote, do we need Windows fans? Like, as in people who like Windows, the operating system. And I wanted to say, no, not really. They sell enough anyway. Mark writes in, do we need shoelaces? I certainly don't. Even my shoes that have laces, they are laced in such a way that means that I can get my foot in and out without ever doing or undoing the lace.
Yeah, I do them once. And if they're the type of lace that comes a little bit loose, a little bit of super glue on the knot seeps in, keeps it locked, and then you can just snip off the long end bits.
That's actually a really good idea. I never thought of doing that. Yeah. Because the worst feeling in the world, I mean, there are way worse feelings, you know, than this, like dysentery, I'm sure, but it's that feeling where you get so used to your shoes being permatied, as I like to call it,
yeah.
And then you notice that one of them has come undone. It's that horrible feeling of, oh, God, I've got to get that balance right. It's like finding the biting point in a really old car.
Yeah, oh, completely. Yeah. I really miss having my Velcro shoes. I used to get these, the little ones from, like, Clarks when I was about 10 or 11, and they were brilliant.
Yeah.
Mark also mentioned the self-tying ones from Back to the Future 2. These were pretty brilliant. Put them on and they kind of all snap into place.
I lost faith in Back to the Future 2.
Why?
Because it's now in the past. It's not even the future anymore.
And we still don't have those shoes. Actually, we do have them.
Well, they made some.
Yeah, they made
They also made a hoverboard.
Yeah, well.
But it's because it was product placement. They were made by Nike. It was a product placement. It was kind of like that Walkman in Home Alone. You know, the one that had like the protruding microphone that I really badly wanted when I was younger. Product placement, terrible. That scene in Friends where Joey's stuffing Oreos into his mouth, product placement. The Pottery Barn episode in Friends, product placement. All of these things, product placement. The only person who's ever done product placement well that's been good was Wayne's World. Finally, we've got one more come in here from Pete, who says that when he was at university, he had a ground floor flat that had these things on the windows called suicide locks. And he wonders, do we need these? Now, I've never seen what this is. Why you would need a suicide lock on a first floor flat, I have no idea.
Those little slider things that you have on windows that just stops them opening all the way out so you can't lean out or get out of them. So the reasons that you'd have them on the ground floor is not so that you can't get out, so people can't get in. So if you leave your window ajar, people can't on the ground floor do that, because I had exactly the same on my windows, partly because we went to the same university, and yeah, it means that I could actually leave my window open, knowing full well that people can't open it all the way out. It's also that you can't jump out and top yourself. Because...
But don't most people smash through the windows?
Well, they wouldn't need. It would be a lot easier for people to come in and do that on an opportunistic basis if they could literally just open the window, lean in, and take my laptop.
Interesting.
So that's why. So yes, I think we do need those. So thanks for all your feedback. Some great stuff this week. Make sure to keep it coming to doweneedquestions@gmail.com or over on Twitter with @doweneed, followed by the thing that you question whether or not we need. So moving on to the second half, and I wanted to talk about piercings. Well, specifically sort of the more unusual piercings. So things like the ears and even parts of the face I can totally understand and get behind.
I'm glad that you just mentioned all the ones that I've got and say, that's all fine. Well, so thanks for your
fine.
Approval there.
People see that and it's within reason. It's just that the other ones, I'm not entirely sure what they're accomplishing. Even sort of belly buttons, I can understand to a certain degree because there's a big fashion thing with some girls around that.
Well, it stems from belly button dancing, from belly dancing.
Well, precisely. But it's also a very unhygienic area that often gets infected. And that is the reason I put this in, because a couple of weeks ago, I was on the tube with a woman dabbing at her belly button piercing, which was weeping. And that's a horrible word.
That's an awful thing to see on a tube.
It just turned my stomach completely. I was like, I don't think you need this it just doesn't need to be a thing. Like, it obviously got infected and has gone pussy.
Oh, that's nasty.
Yeah.
But you're talking about other piercings, like, you know, people who basically put a ring through their cock.
Rings through their cocks. Things like, I've seen quite a few piercings on the skin on the back of the neck, which I don't understand. Yeah. Or a guy who... he was a friend of a friend, mm-hmm. and he had the skin on his elbow pierced, so quite a big piercing.
I've seen that, which
then it tore through his skin.
Mm.
I don't quite see the point of what that's really accomplishing.
But it depends who's doing it. A lot of it's just fashion. It's being alternative. I've got a friend who has piercings through the cheeks, but only the outside area. So it's not like going through the cheek. It is just the top area.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. There's a girl in Monmouth Cothie in Borough Market who has the same.
Okay. It's a big tribal thing. It originated. Same as earlobe stretching. Nasal stretching, lip stretching, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Same as tattoos, you know, as a way of marking your, you know, the tribe you're from.
Yeah, the tribes.
Things like that. There are some extreme examples, and body modification is something that personally fascinates me. Yeah, you know, I've got a lot of friends who are into this sort of stuff and have friends in the past that were as well. And they all give various different reasons for wanting to do it. And a lot of the time it's kind of a gradual thing, and it starts off as just a, you know, a lip or a nose or things like that, and it just kind of graduates because it's something that they, you know,
I think it's a bit of an addiction.
It actually is, and it's the same for tattoos.
Yeah, once you get the one, you're immediately, no matter how long you spend your life thinking, oh, I really want to get this tattoo, as soon as you got that one, you're looking for the next one.
But you know what, there is actually a biological reason for that, because of the kind of the adrenaline, the endorphins, and the association with like pleasure and that sort of thing in the brain, and it becomes a thing in the same way that like cocaine is, or people that do extreme sports and skydiving. Mm. It becomes a craving for a rush, and people do kind of get addicted to tattoos. I remember reading once that David Beckham said he was, you know, basically addicted to getting tattoos, and I've certainly heard friends who do the same thing. But you know, there are some extreme examples. There was a guy called Bear or Daryl Belmar, I don't know how to pronounce his name. He basically has the world's largest stretched earlobes at 5.5 inches.
5.5 inches.
Yeah. Oh
my God.
I don't think we can really conclude whether we need them, because I think it's kind of being slightly too judgmental, which we are a lot, but also because I think there's a divide between need and want. And do we need them? Probably not. Should they exist? Probably.
That's fair.
Last one. This was a suggestion of yours. I don't really want to know why. 3D porn.
Yeah, so now we're talking stereoscopic porn, as in it looks in three dimensions.
You're basically talking stuff that's just sort of flying into your face, right?
Yeah.
Just gushing into your eyes.
Yeah, that sort of porn. Not the weird, messed up sort of CGI beasts fucking these impossibly breasted girls, usually in space or some dungeon. Because in my research...
Can you just keep your hands off my DVDs, please?
Well, that's my problem. In my research for doing this section, I did come across this dark side of the internet of this weird stuff. I've never seen anything like it. I don't quite know if it's meant to be porn or if it's meant... I mean, it's very, very aggressively sexual. But I didn't know if it's meant to be erotic or if it's meant to be... sort of appreciated as an art, as a look at this CGI artist, and really understand it. But no, stereoscopic porn. So I'm not really sure what it's actually adding, because I'm not sure. See, as far as I see, you need special equipment anyway. If you're gonna have the one where it's actually showing two images side by side, so you need to wear the active shutter glasses to be able to see both. Having to wear this quite big headset, that is kind of ruining the moment. If you've got the big glasses, like the NVIDIA ones you can get if you're using it with a computer, that is definitely taking a certain level of eroticism away from what you're actually watching.
Well, it doesn't, though, does it? Clearly. It doesn't. That's why it's beginning to exist. And I think that when you look about the idea of doing 3D porn that's live, that extra depth actually adds, probably, I guess, maybe, I don't know, I'm just hypothesizing, more realism.
To the experience,
if you do look like a massive shit.
I suppose, yeah, if it's live, like, because there are plenty of like the live cam sites, and I guess that might add an extra depth of realism. There was the first high-budget porn shot in 3D called Sex and Zen Extreme Ecstasy.
You know what? I was meant to go to the premiere of that. I got invited to that, and I couldn't go, and I can't remember why now, because it sounded brilliant. Yeah, they said it will leave audiences feeling like they're sitting right there at the edge of the bed. And I remember reading that thinking, that's a great idea. It's also horrifically violent, that film.
Now, oddly, that is that exact quote is what I put in as a reason to not go. Do you really want to be sat there right at the edge of the bed?
There was a lad in my secondary school who did sit on the end of a bed watching someone have sex while smoking tea leaves. And he was the most miserable excuse for a human being I've ever come across. Yeah,
and actually, I have a friend. Well, actually, we both have a friend who used to film hardcore porn. And he has said that it's basically one of the most soul-crushing things he's ever had to do. And wouldn't ever want to go back. But I suppose it's character building. And so from knowing that experience, I don't think I'd really want to be right there in the room watching these people. Now, if it was more... someone sent me a video to a jokey Oculus Rift. That's the augmented reality headset thing. If it was that and you were actually supposed to be in it, then that's fine. That'd be kind of, for any fans of Red Dwarf, the Better Than Life simulator where it's all about... proper virtual reality, you think you're with this person.
Yeah,
that's, you know, you can see that being making a bit more sense.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, but 3D porn.
Well, we could go one step further. We could say, do we need porn? I mean, it's actually quite amazing. I remember when I was in Japan the other week, and condom sales have shrunk 40-odd%.
Do you mean in sales or size of condom?
in shipments. Since the internet arrived in Japan, condom sales have gone down 40%.
So people are just sat at home wanking off rather than actually going out and having sex?
Well, there is the suggestion that that is one reason. Yes. There is quite a strong correlation. And I find that to be quite fascinating. And, you know, there are a lot of people who enjoy porn for reasons that will go unmentioned. But... 3D porn, I think it just adds another depth to something that realistically is perfectly legitimate, and I don't think there's a real issue. Do we need 3D porn? Why not? Well, that was a happy finish. That's the end of the show. So if you have any suggestions for things do we need, send them to doweneedquestions@gmail.com.
Or you can head over to Twitter and hit us up with @doweneed, followed by the thing that you think we do or do not need. Whichever.
And you can also comment on anything we've talked about on the show if you want to argue the toss over the 3D porn story. By all means, drop us an email. And funnily enough, that sounded like a planned pun play on words.
But did sound like a planned pun.
Totally not. That's how good we've got.
You can spray your thoughts all over our Twitter feed.
Yeah, do that now. See you next week.